Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us for the next two segments is going to be Steve Ubani, and we're going to talk about one of his books, the Who Murdered series, but Who Murdered Elvis? And I'll tell you, it was a real eye-opener for me, but I'm already an aficionado of what goes on behind the curtain, and I understand the deep, dark, nefarious forces of the state, the Murder Incorporated liaison between the intelligence agencies and the mob. You know, they used them in World War II, especially on the Italian campaign, and that marriage union never stopped. You remember a guest I had on before, Stephen Kinzer, and we were talking about stuff. Well, I'm reading his other book now on the Dulles brothers, and when you look at all the deep, dark things the State Department and the CIA have done. If he'll come back to talk about that book, or maybe I'll just do a quick snippets on it one day, but it would just shock you on the depth and breadth of the assassination programs to take out leaders that get in your way. That's probably why we're in a big muddle in the Middle East. Everybody knows about Mosaddegh pretty much. And when you think, you know, you stood in the way of big business like United Fruits in Ecuador, you know, the axe is going to fall, and there's going to be a covert army of warriors to come and get you. And these forces still exist. They're still, you know, in the game, taking on whoever, whenever, whatever. And because, as we get into this story a little more about what happened at the autopsy and all the police reports and official documents, we can see that all these people were under control of something or just flat-out bought and paid for, because they could only arrive at one conclusion, the lie. Even though there's tons of other evidence that point in another direction, like murder, it all has to be swept under the rug, hidden, concealed, so that you're tagged along like a little dog in what, you know, propagandists that some of us call it the dog and pony show, and we never know the truth. We never learned what happened, because this was one of the foundation cracks of another major conspiracy in the United States that affected the whole world. And for that, we're thankful that Steve has done all this research, wrote his book, because the words are the weapons we use today, and that's why they're censored so much. Because with the right word, you can move mountains. And there was a famous Kennedy said something like that, and I was lucky to find that in my picture file. Each time a person stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others, they send forth a tiny ripple of hope. These ripples build a current which can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance. Robert F. Kennedy. And that's what we're doing here. We're under the oppression of this COVID thing. And when you go up to someone who's convinced this is real and this is happening, they are so programmed. They're like a cult, like Nazis at Nuremberg, for what they think, feel, and believe. And forces control this narrative. But the only answer I could have to that would be just to go up to them, not challenge them on anything, but just ask them a simple question, very simple question. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe they're lying to us? And just leave it at that. Because you planted a seed, and it's up to universe, the world, fate, the Lord, that that seed will grow and prosper. And maybe one day they'll see something that contradicts and start to look at it in another direction. And that's what got Steve motivated. Something didn't match. Something doesn't fit. Something's wrong. And he has the guts to actually look at it and determine the truth of the past. And in a way, there's probably nothing better or more important for Elvis's legacy and many of the other martyrs that have fallen in this struggle to be known and recognized for what you are and what you were, and to inspire new generations to take up the torch, to defeat this evil that infests. One of the things about the mob you mentioned that I just wanted to add quickly to is the mob probably doesn't really need the entertainers anymore, because now they have control of the governments, and they can make them dance and do anything whatever they want to. That's a big issue here in Canada, and that's why we got the governments we have, because these people can't say or do anything freely for fear of retribution from the mob, and they can loot treasuries never mind bits and pieces of an entertainer's income. It's a weird, weird world we live in. Well, let's continue with your leftover thought and go back to Memphis and the death of Elvis Presley.
Well, I'll tell you what, I wanted to add this because you're going right along the lines of one of my favorite quotes. The quote was by Napoleon Bonaparte and said, "The truth is the lie agreed upon."
Indeed. And that's probably where I got my version of that, is the truth is the most accepted lie, but it probably came from a spin on Boney. Okay.
You just can't say it any better than that. Back to Elvis Presley. There's so many theories out there that, I think I'll get into his death and then I'll address the theories afterwards. Okay. People would say, who would want Elvis Presley? Who would want Elvis Presley dead? Well, Colonel Parker was probably one of those degenerate gamblers anybody's ever heard of. Elvis was playing Vegas and he was well paid. It is $125,000 a week back in the day, which is a king's ransom now. Could you imagine that in, back in 71 or 68 or whenever he started? Of course, 68 was the comeback year. And he was going two shows a night, an hour and 15 minutes, sometimes three shows a night. And that guy was just working himself, and he was so tired. He was the whole show. I mean, it's not like, you're the bass player for a band, there's six of you out there, and you just have to go thump, thump, thump all night. Elvis was the show. So, they were working this guy. It was entertainment servitude. They were working this guy into his grave, basically. So, and here's Colonel Parker, who was, Elvis is knocking him dead on the stage, and Colonel Parker was giving him away. It was $40, I think, to see Elvis, and that included the Elvis show for an hour and 15 minutes, plus a gourmet meal. Well, no wonder this guy had all the attendance records. Who wouldn't go to that show, So here's Elvis working himself, in entertainment servitude. Here's Colonel Parker at the gambling tables. Colonel Parker... They used to say in Las Vegas his money was no good because he would never pay his debts. He would, at a time when the average American was making $5,800 a year, Colonel Parker, at the time of Elvis Presley's death, was in debt to the gambling tables $32 million. And those people you're not going to owe those people money very long. So... he lost in one night. Larry Geller, who was Elvis Presley's hairdresser and spiritual guide, and Elvis was very spiritual, very religious man, very, very smart man. I've heard people say, he wasn't a deep thinker. Nope, not even true. Elvis Presley was not only very musically talented, Elvis Presley was very, very intelligent. He was an avid reader, loved to go down rabbit holes. I'm sorry I never met him. I met his uncle. Met a couple people in the Memphis Mafia. But I'm very, very sorry that I never had the opportunity to meet him because I think he would have been fascinating. So here's Larry Geller walking through the casino, and he sees this man in this giant crowd around this man, and, the velvet ropes, and they've got him all walled off in his own little corner, and he gets closer. It's Colonel Parker, and he's playing the goofball game of all time, the Wheel of Fortune, and you spin the wheel. And Colonel says, Larry, sit down and give me some good luck. And Larry sat there for a little while, and he was a little uncomfortable with it. He didn't stay very long. Colonel Parker lost $1.5 million that night. This is how out of control this guy was. So here we have not only a psychopath, a murdering psychopath, a gambling murdering psychopath who is in debt to the mob for millions and millions of dollars. This is not going to end well, folks, especially when you've got Elvis Presley carrying guns, playing with the FBI at a time when they were trying to take down the mob. Now, if we've all seen the movie Casino, however fictitious that might be, you can kind of get the idea that every hotel room was bugged. The mob in the 60s and 70s ran Vegas. That was it. You played with them or you didn't play on a high level. They ran everything. So you can kind of get the flavor of the mix of these personalities here. And Elvis reached the point where he was worth more money dead than he was alive. He was starting to cancel tours. He started not to draw like he used to. He had health issues. Actually, Colonel Parker tried selling his contract, and it was picked up in the Nashville Banner, which is a newspaper. That's all out there. If you go to the Facebook page, the Who Murdered Elvis Facebook page, there's a picture of it there. Of the newspaper clipping. So it got to the point where Parker could no longer put money in the mob's pockets to pay off his gambling debts, and he started to fear for his life because they'll let you slide for a while, but they're not going to let you slide very long. So Colonel Parker decided that he was going to up the percentage. So it went from 25% and 75% for Elvis to 50-50. And then it went with the side deals, and he started Boxcar Enterprises, Colonel Parker, and gave Elvis a cut of that, and he started to sell Elvis's image on things because he couldn't make the money he used to off Elvis because he was starting to cancel tours and things like that. So as Elvis Presley Enterprises found out now, Colonel Parker was on the right track. His image doesn't tire. He doesn't cancel dates. The image doesn't get sick. So there's a lot going on. Elvis was reorganizing his life in 1977. He had fired three of his toughest bodyguards, Red West, Sonny West, and Dave Hebler. Couldn't afford them anymore. Elvis Presley almost went bankrupt in 1976. He was the biggest taxpayer in the state of Tennessee. He had no tax shelters. So here this guy is working himself poor, and again, it's entertainment servitude. He goes through a divorce, and in 1973, he's in such dire straits, Colonel Parker has to arrange a deal with RCA to buy all of the rights and all of the royalties to Elvis Presley's music, probably the greatest collection of music history on record at the time. The divorce settlement went through. They got paid. The colonel got paid. RCA got paid. Elvis got virtually nothing after the tax man took it out. So here we have this guy is basically, it's golden handcuffs. Elvis Presley behind the scenes had a terrible life. There was no one who was more abused than Elvis. And when I say abused, I don't mean physically, obviously. I mean financially. And he was just not being managed well. So There's an awful lot going on at this point. So his father, Vernon, starts taking over his finances. It got so bad, his finances, that word came down that you were not to drink the bottled water because it was too expensive to the guys. I mean, they really had to cramp down on things. So 1975, September 2nd, 1975, Elvis Presley wants a bigger plane. And he is the two biggest acts at the time are Led Zeppelin and Elvis Presley. And Elvis wants a plane like theirs. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, bigger and better, right? Especially if you can afford it. Well, Elvis couldn't afford it. So he bought this new plane, and he was selling this plane called the Jetstar, which he paid almost $900,000 for. And it was dry docked, and they were doing nothing with it. So Vernon said, well, look, I can unload this plane and I can put some money in the coffers and at least stop the bleeding for right now. So he puts it up for sale, gets contacted by a fellow who wants to buy the plane. And he says, look, I can give you more than the $899,000, but you have to do it my way. And Vernon says, okay, what do you want? He said, the plane is below standards. He said, you remortgage the plane, bring it up to standards. I will take the plane, and I will pay you back installments which equal more than the money for the plane and the money you have into it. Gee, sounds like a great idea. So Vernon pays for, he remortgages the plane, he pays for all the updates and everything. The party takes the plane, never saw any money. So now the FBI is involved on the other end of this theft for the plane. It turned out that the person, Frederick Peter Proe, who bought this plane, they had been watching this guy in a global swindling ring for ages. So now Elvis Presley just had his plane stolen. He's also, a narcotics agent working for the government in another sense. Now he's got the mob on one side of him. Now he's upset the mob on the other side of him. You couldn't write a story like this. I mean, it's amazing. History is more fascinating than fiction sometimes. So there's a lot going on in the Elvis Presley world. So this is one of the reasons why I can give you a lot of, I don't want to give a lot away, not because I don't want you to know these things, but I don't want to, the book needs to speak for itself, okay? And how you get this book, go to my website. Don't buy it on Amazon, you'll spend too much money. Go to my website. Go to whomurderedbooks.com, whomurderedbooks.com, lowercase, all one word, whomurderedbooks.com. And I think I just lowered the prices on my books. I think they're $14. There's some mistake copies out there that have the wrong cover on them for $5. You want to pick one up? I'd be happy to ship one off to you. So I think everyone, I can sit here and tell you who murdered Elvis all day long, but that's great, but I want you to learn the history and what was going on behind the scenes that probably no one knew about. So here we come to the death of Elvis Presley. Oh boy. How much time do we spend on this? I was on Coast to Coast. We did 3.5 hours on this. We don't have that on this show, so I have to be a little pithy. The first story that came out was a heart attack. Okay. The body is found. It is found in front of his toilet. Elvis was not on the toilet. And it was, this is what we were told. This is the in legend and lore of what we were told, that Elvis Presley died of a heart attack. Well, Dr. Jerry T. Francisco gets the body at the hospital, and he promises at 8 p.m. that night he's going to have a cause of death. Impossible. Marilyn Monroe's coroner took 11 days to come up with her cause of death, and here we have this guy saying he's going to have a cause of death for Elvis Presley in a couple of hours. It doesn't work that way. Without one fingerprint being lifted from Graceland, or without the toxicology report coming back, without the autopsy even being over with, Dr. Francisco tells the waiting world that Elvis Presley died of cardiac arrhythmia, which was basically an irregular beating of the heart. That should be taken out of the chronicles of history and put it right next to Grimm's fairy tales. You can't diagnose an irregular heartbeat unless you have a beating heart. And since he didn't diagnose Elvis Presley's heart when it was beating, he just made something up for everyone to go away and leave him alone. Well, it didn't take very long for that to die off. And I've interviewed one of the guys who was at the autopsy. His name was Dan Warlick. And Dan just died here a little while ago, which was sad because Dan was a peach of a guy. He was at the autopsy, examined Elvis Presley all over the place. There was no gross evidence of a heart attack. Elvis Presley did not die of a heart attack. He was years and years and years away. He was 42 years old. He was years away from having the heart issues that would have caused him to have a heart attack. So that was Mother Goose story number one. So then, because when they went, the EMTs went to see Elvis, one of the guys there said that we think he OD'd. Well, if all you have is a hammer, everything starts to look like a nail. So they're looking for these drugs. The death scene was also staged. There were a couple of syringes that were there. No needle marks on Elvis. No needle marks in the syringes, according to Dan Warlick, who was investigated Graceland and was also at the autopsy. He ended up being pretty close with Dan. Got a lot of information. So Dan Warlick takes all of the sketches and everything out of Graceland, takes them home that night after doing the autopsy, puts them in his car, locks up his car. In the morning, his car is vandalized. The only thing missing were all of the notes, all of the pictures, and everything from Graceland. Kind of convenient. So they do three toxicology reports on Elvis Presley. One was done at the University of Tennessee. The other one was done in an independent laboratory in Memphis, and they still won't give us the name of that one. And they both came back low levels of narcotics. And there are different levels of narcotics. There are trace. There are therapeutic, which is, what a doctor would prescribe. And then there's a toxic level, which would make you sick. And then, of course, lethal. We all know what lethal is. Lethal would kill you. In the case of Elvis Presley, there was only, it came back between trace and therapeutic levels. No drugs here, but they can't stop. They got to find these drugs. There's got to be something more here. So they take tissue samples and they send them all the way across the country to bioscience laboratories in California, who at the time had all the great information and all the great equipment. And they come back that, you know, Elvis Presley's tissue samples had 11 times the lethal level of codeine. Well, we have a problem here. Elvis Presley is allergic to codeine. When I met with Dan Warlick and I discussed the condition of the body, the first thing that he did was dissect Elvis Presley's vocal cords, looking for signs of anaphylaxis, drug interaction, see if there's any swelling, see if it may have choked off his breathing. So as he's examining this larynx, this incredibly developed organ, there's no sign of this in his body. So Elvis Presley's doctor, his nurses, his dentists, most of the people in the Memphis Mafia all know to keep codeine away from this guy because he almost died in 1969 by accident. He was prescribed codeine for a dental visit, and he started to have an anaphylactic reaction. He started to itch. His throat started to swell closed, and thank God his doctor was there and knew what the signs were. So here we have a problem. How can we have one of the three toxicology reports coming back at codeine at 11 times the lethal level when there's no signs of codeine in the body?
Indeed, indeed. And that's the way the New World Order works. They just make it up as they go along, and the media perpetuates the lies. That becomes the narrative. That's the history forever and ever until Steve changes it back the way it should be. Thanks for coming up. See you on the other side of the break.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, when I was so excited? I still am excited after 21 years. I said, anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Froyen. Joining us for the last segment, Steve Ubaney, author of the Who Murdered series. Because, by and large, as Bob Marley said, too many of our prophets have been murdered over the years. And the sad part is their memory goes down that deep, dark hole that Orwell called the memory hole, and they're forgotten. And all their sacrifices, all their ideals, all the decency that they stood for, especially if they're standing against the storm, is lost with them until the next one comes along. And that's a terrible shame. The popular culture icon is quick to take and fill the void and just put out all kinds of ho-hum things that matter for naught and keep you in that digital virtual prison, intellectual prison that we all live in overall. And it's time that we break out once and for all. Let our you know, what was it John Lennon's line? Emancipate yourself from, this mental slavery. Oh, no, that is Bob Marley, too. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can, whatever, change or understand what's going on. And that's very, very true. We're in this cell, locked in, and kept that way on purpose. Because the dangerous thing you commit, the most dangerous crime is in Orwell's novel. It's the thought crime. Once you commit a thought crime, you are paced to the powers that be. And the pop stars are the most dangerous. Elvis was on a death list, just like John Lennon at his beginning. He was getting too popular. He's the kind of guy that, just like John Lennon, could say, just say anything, and the president has to kneel before him because his word carries that much weight. And when you get popular icons like that, like for Steve's next book, Princess Diana, anything she would say, she could stop the world from spinning, if it is spinning at all, and just get people to focus on whatever she said. John Lennon got a man released from prison. Didn't need a lawyer, didn't need the judges, didn't need the appeal courts. He just had a concert and sang a song, and they had to let him go, or the whole country would have been in rebellion. And he wrote a song about it, too, that's kind of nice. And when people come along like that, they're the biggest threat to the stability of whatever is controlling us. And Elvis rose to that type of popularity, too. And he was trying to use it for good, covertly. But unfortunately, like you say, everything was bugged. There were spies on him. like one of his longtime Army friends, as I recall, was a spy for Colonel Parker. Was it Esposito?
Yeah,
and
Joe Esposito.
He would report back everything that's going on to give the colonel that advantage over him so that he cannot move, budge, think, do anything without them having heads up and being to take action against it, including murdering him. So let's go back to, you know, this death. And one thing I remember from Steve's book is he had two medicals before he died. So to have, say you got a heart issue, one of them was an insurance company, I believe Lloyd's of London. So believe me, if there was even the slightest thing wrong with you, they'd be raising your insurance rates so that, you know, they don't have to pay out too much in proportion to what they took in. So, you know, it just doesn't fly at all.
No,
it's like everything made up.
Not at all. And you're very right about the death list, and this was mentioned in my book. 65 entertainers died strangely from 1959 to 1984. So basically anyone who can hogtie and pull the sentiments of the people away from the powers that be tend to, you know, meet strange fates, you know. I'm not one of them. I just dig into history. I like that. You know, I don't care if the earth is flat or round. As long as I'm on it, I'm happy. I'm good. You know, I'm a history detective. That's what I do. I dig into stuff when no one else is looking. So very interesting stuff with Elvis Presley. So I think where we left off was, the toxicology reports. Yes. You're right about that, George. He had two head to toe, medical examinations. For one for Lloyd's of London and one for his, for another insurance company. If there was anything wrong with them, they would have been on top of it. So here I am researching this book and I'm walking around being a huge Elvis fan with this dark cloud over my head for 8 months thinking, oh man, you know, knowing this and thinking, man, do I write this book or not? They're going to think I'm out of my mind. And one of my friends just finally said, look, you can't do this to yourself. You're going to have to write this book. So it was a gigantic undertaking for sure. I thought I was the only person who knew Elvis was murdered. Come to find out there were other people, starting with his father. I got into the research and I realized the very first thing that Vernon Presley said upon finding his dead son is, oh my God, they've murdered my son. Pretty telling statement. Who's they? Very interesting stuff. The next one on the list was Dick Grob. Dick Grob, we just lost Dick Grob. He was Elvis Presley's chief of security who was on duty the day Elvis Presley died. He was a really nice guy. And, of course, we just lost him weeks ago, of course, of natural causes. They're at that age now. That's just the way it is. We lost Dr. Nick a couple of years ago. So we're just at that age. So Dick Grob writes this book called The Elvis Conspiracy. He was the first one to publish a book about Elvis Presley being murdered. It's a hell of a book. If you get a chance, get it. There's other, you know, like I said, I was kind of lucky. There were 30 years of research that came out before mine came out. So I had some good stones to walk on the path. And I think I finally came along, rearranged everything, put it in proper order and put this capstone on it. So all of it finally makes sense. So, another one was Susanna Lee. Susanna Lee was Elvis Presley's co-star in Paradise Hawaiian Style. She came out in 1978. She lived in Memphis. She's great friends with Elvis. She came out in 1978 on television and said, what are we going to solve the murder of Elvis Presley? And everyone just couldn't believe what she had said. And they went to all kinds of lengths to shut her up. They sabotaged her car. They tried to kill her. They burned her house down. They tried to shoot her. She was a big dog lover. Someone got into her house and killed all of her dogs, trying to scare her out. She bore a tremendous brunt and paid a tremendous price for that. So, as it turns out, I wasn't the only one. Dr. Nicopoulos, if you go on my website, go to whomurderedbooks.com, go onto the Elvis page, there's a video clip of Dr. Nicopoulos saying Elvis was murdered. So this information is out there. It's just being squelched. So I was shocked. I thought I had uncovered. They hadn't dug into it as far as I did, but this information is out there. And the last one was Dan Warlick, who was investigated Graceland, who did the autopsy, or I shouldn't say did. There was a lot of people at the autopsy. He performed a great part at the autopsy. I shook the hand that took out Elvis Presley's brain, which I had problems processing for a while. Dan finally came around to the point that maybe there was more behind this than just what was on the autopsy table. So from there, I have to go to a couple of other things. This Elvis is Alive thing, you know, I was in that camp for about 20-some-odd years, and I don't make fun of these people. A couple of my friends are Elvis is Alive people. They don't have to believe what I believe. That's fine. They are finding evidence. They are finding documents. They are finding these things. But what they're finding is real. It's placed there for them to find. Because the longer they get us to spin this and look for a live Elvis hanging out at Burger King, the less time we're spending solving this murder, which is pretty telling, actually. And I really don't have the time to go into this like I want to, because there's a huge body of information here. So Jerry Schilling was one.
I recall you mentioning in your book is Susanna Lay mentioned that there were surgical doubles of Elvis.
Elvis had a lot of
body doubles.
Elvis had. She said that I became really good friends with Susanna. She's another one we lost a couple years ago. She had stage 4 liver cancer, and well, I'll tell you, she really fought like a tiger. Pardon me. So she said the first 4 scenes that she was on that she did weren't even with Elvis. He had 2 body doubles. Elvis was in the studio laying down the music tracks while they were filming. And these body doubles will use, I mean, they were filming a movie in 30 days. So obviously he needed help. Elvis couldn't be in every scene. If you look at Fun in Acapulco, Elvis was not diving off these cliffs, I guarantee you. And there were body doubles and stuntmen along the way. And they were surgically altered to look like Elvis. As a matter of fact, if you search Paradise Hawaiian Style and you look at some of the photos, there's Susanna Lee with her arm around Elvis. It's not Elvis. Look at the face. This guy is a U-shaped face. Elvis's face is very thin and very triangular. That's not Elvis. And there's a couple other ones in there that are not Elvis. This is how much they looked like Elvis Presley. So these people are now at the proper age, where people are seeing these doubles around, and they think that this is Elvis Presley. And, you know, you can't fault them. They're searching and they're finding things, and they are seeing people who may or may not look like Elvis. But you look at other things. Look at Lisa Marie. I mean, there's nothing Elvis Presley liked on this planet or loved on this planet like his daughter. Look at what she's been through. She's had problems with opioids. She's had alcohol problems. She's been through all kinds of divorces. Elvis, and now apparently she's just sued Priscilla for all kinds of money, and there's a big infight going on there, I guess. This would not be going on if Elvis Presley was on this planet. We need to move past this. I wish he was. I wish he was. I wish Elvis was here, believe me, especially being a huge Elvis fan. I would love to think he faked his death. You know, once you look at the entire body of evidence, I don't really think that that's possible. Jerry Schilling is another one who was a huge friend of Elvis from childhood. And he was one of the – I never met Jerry, and I hope I do, because I've got a lot of respect for this guy. Jerry was one of these people who wasn't a hanger-on. He just cared about Elvis and not the image. He was a true friend of Elvis. There was a couple of them. Upon hearing of the news of Elvis Presley dying, he takes his hand and he smashes it into a concrete wall, had to have surgery to repair his hand. This would not be happening if Elvis Presley faked his death and if these people were in on it. It just, you know, these things would not be happening. So we have to get beyond this, that Elvis faked his death and all of these things. I wish it were true. It's not. It's not true. And that's where I end up there. There's only one truth. And I've uncovered it. Elvis Presley was murdered, and his murder, the death scene, the confused death scene, and all of this greatly paralleled JFK and Marilyn Monroe, Sonny Liston was murdered almost identically the same way. The mysteriously sanitized death scene on Sonny Liston and Marilyn Monroe. JFK gets his brains blown out. They're in surgery trying to save the president's life. Secret Service is cleaning the blood splatter out of the limousine. Are you kidding me? What are they doing?
And same thing with Elvis case, Presley. The colonel was telling the maids to clean up the death scene.
Somebody did. Elvis's body gets taken to Baptist Memorial Hospital, which was not the closest hospital, by the way. It was the hospital they knew they could cover things up at. So his stomach contents get rinsed down the drain, which negates a thorough autopsy. They come back, the EMTs. The EMTs come back, Ulysses Jones and Charles Crosby. They come back to pick up their bags, their ready bags. Their resuscitation equipment is all piled neatly over in the corner. The bed has been made up. There were signs of a struggle. It's all gone. So Dan Warlick gets there at the same time the EMTs are picking up the bags, and he notices a wet spot in front of the toilet, 6 feet in front of the toilet, 6.5 feet, actually. Dan was a tall man. He said he could outstretch himself with his feet at the toilet, and it was still a little beyond him. Elvis had thrown up into the carpet. He went down to sniff it. Smelled like cleanser. Someone had to sanitize the death scene. Why do you hide things when there's nothing to hide? Very interesting, very telling. In the case of Marilyn Monroe, she had liver mortis on the wrong side of her face. When you die, when your blood stops circulating, it pools to the lowest part of your body, and it causes a purplish appearance. It was on the wrong side of her face. Her death was arranged and sanitized. Elvis's death was arranged and sanitized. In the case of Sonny Liston, he was found with needle marks in his arm and drugs all over the place. Sonny Liston was terrified of needles. Anytime he had to go to the dentist, they had to knock him out with anesthesia. He was horrified of needles. He was not using these needles. So if you piece together all of this, the death scene was sanitized and staged to spin things off. The planted drug syringes in Elvis Presley's upstairs lair. Graceland is a house within a house. Downstairs is for everyone else. Upstairs is Elvis Presley's house. People don't realize probably that when they walk through the front door at Graceland, if they go in, take two steps in, and you look directly over their heads, that's exactly where Elvis died. Elvis died right there. The death scene was completely sanitized. I spoke to Dan Warlick about his investigation. He said, I would give you all of my notes and all of my photos if they weren't stolen. They were stolen for a reason. He didn't have very much faith in Jerry Francisco as a medical examiner, who was incredibly talented and very educated and was probably the best man in the state of Tennessee to perform Elvis's autopsy. Why this thing was done so haphazardly, I'm sure I have no idea. He was the same person who, a few years earlier, was the medical examiner for Martin Luther King. Both people ended up on the slab in Memphis. He botched that to the point. He botched that autopsy to the point where he had this poor guy carved up so bad you couldn't tell which way the bullet was coming from. So apparently there's something magical that happens in Memphis under the supervision of Jerry T. Francisco.
Well, the way to find out would be to check his bank balances slightly before or after events like this and see if there's been any fluctuations.
It's amazing what goes on, and I don't mean to talk bad about anybody. And you know, I don't believe that Jerry Francisco is with us, and I don't mean to talk bad about the guy, but I mean, come on. You got to do a better job than this. There were two death certificates filed in the case of Elvis Presley, and they contradicted each other. One filed by Jerry Francisco, the other one filed by Dr. Nicopoulos. You can't make this stuff up. You just can't. You know what I mean? And it plays with people's normalcy bias. They want to believe that 2 and 2 equals 4. And what did you say in the break? It was perfect. about, oh, and they lived happily ever after.
Well, that's the master mind control program. We've been inculcated since our birth to the nursery fables. Once upon a time, we lived happily ever after. So what that has done is programmed your mind to accept a way to take in information. When it's presented in that way, it is instantly digested and accepted. So if I tell you a story, no matter what it is, once upon a time, but it ended happily ever after. Boom, you're in. The media knows how to use that and play that bias against you. If I tell you a story like you're telling me, once upon a time we lived, but in Memphis there was a bad autopsy. There were all kinds of villains in Elvis's world. There was, basically could all be summed up in the conspiracy word. You can't digest that because that tells me we're not living happily ever after.
You know, and they always have to find a fall guy. The single bullet theory with Oswald. Okay. The drug theory with Dr. Nicopoulos. The Elvis's empty syringes. And they were, when I say empty syringes, they were a cartridge type of syringe. They weren't like you'd find at the doctor's office. They were almost like a little caulking gun where you'd put the whole syringe in. And, these were scattered all over the place. Not a mark on Elvis. They were there just to spin people in the other direction. So the pristine bullet in JFK's situation, found on the stretcher, it's just planted there to spin people's mind in another direction. And if you look, the similarities between these are incredible. Sonny Liston, Benito Mussolini, Elvis Presley, all found the same basic way, nude from the waist down. This is done to humiliate tough guys. This is a mob sign. This is what they do. Sometimes when you talk and they don't want you to talk, they shoot a hole around your mouth with many bullets. These are all mob signs. And really, I really feel bad that Elvis Presley didn't get a chance to see a more advanced life. He was incredibly talented. I think he was a great actor, not because of his films, but because he managed to make everyone think that he was having a great time doing those films when he was in misery. He thought that Hollywood was laughing at him. He hated doing those films. Meanwhile, he's doing these films. The Beatles are taking over America. And here's Colonel Parker. It's about the money. It's about the money. Well, of course it's about the money. He was the one that owed all the money to the gambling tables. Elvis was, here he is, the strangled genius performer who, like I said, was probably more famous than anybody who's ever been famous, being kept in this little stupid cookie-cutter movie role. Finally started to get out of it with the last ones that he made, Charo and A Change of Habit and things like that, but if he was handled by someone else, his life would have been entirely different. He tried numerous times to fire Colonel Parker. They went nose to nose and had screaming matches. Every time he did that, the colonel was a step ahead of him. He would submit a bill for all of the expenses that he had put in out of his own pocket to help Elvis, and Elvis could never pay it off. So he did leave him for a short time and was managed by the same company, Tom Hewlett. I believe, who was managing Led Zeppelin. But Colonel Parker wiggled his way back in. If the best and worst thing that ever happened to Elvis Presley was Colonel Parker.
Indeed. We're getting close to the end, unfortunately. We only got a couple minutes to go. I don't know if we could even get at it a little bit more, but if I want to tease some of you to get this book, you got to learn about the mystery man who was driven out at high speed from Elvis's estate just as this happened. You want to learn about the mystery delivery and maybe the secret visitor that came in through a back door. There's a lot involved in this. This was at least a mob hit. The level of complexity is that great, but I would say it probably even goes further, that this was something like the assassination squads of the CIA or people who have been at that level committed. So to have control of this much of the dialectic, just like with the Kennedy assassination, almost implies it's deeper than the mob, because someone's controlling the government, and it isn't we the people.
Vernon Presley hired two private investigators to solve Elvis Presley's murder, and they were investigating up until 1979 when Vernon himself died. He had a failing heart. My book picks up Vernon's probe and the evidence that went in it. I'm going to give it again. If you want this book, you go to whomurderedbooks.com, whomurderedbooks.com, and you can pick up the Elvis books. I've written a pretty sharp book on FDR. People seem to love that book. And I have another one coming out here probably the end of July, Who Murdered Princess Diana. I'm taking pre-orders on that book. Now, if you order that book, that won't be out until probably end of July or August. So there's a lot of brain juice going into what I go into. And people seem to like it. I always say the truth shouldn't be hit. The truth might hurt, but it should never be hidden, and I write to make sure that it never will be. Everyone needs to know this, because if they don't know it, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again and again and again. You have to be smart. You got to be sharp. You got to know what their game is.
Well, that's the big thing. Jesus said the truth sets us free, and they want us to be slaves. That's why we're prevented from having it. And when you use the word want, I'll correct you. You don't want Steve's books. You need them. It's the key to the cell door to free you from this bondage we're in. Thanks for coming out, Steve. We appreciate all your work. God bless you, and we'll have you back again.
Anytime. Thank you.
This is Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Until the next time.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.